for the call to the apostles to spread your word. Please enable us to join in that work for your name's sake. Amen. Please sit down. Don't know if you know the story of Johnny Appleseed, but it's a good one. He was the rather eccentric gentleman who planted apple seeds around the countryside of the United States around about 200 years ago. Lots and lots of apple seeds in nurseries, in lots of places. And I guess, as with lots of seeds, nothing came of it for a while. But by 50 years later, his old stomping ground was covered in apple trees, and lots of people enjoyed the fruit. Fruitfulness on the Front Line is our series on Sunday mornings. And we want to be fruitful where it matters most, out there in the places we work or walk, out there in the groups we mix with, out there with those who visit us or those we visit, where we meet our customers or fellow dog walkers or whoever, out there on our front line, we want to be fruitful. And we want to be fruitful in several different ways, as we've looked over the last few weeks. Modelling godly character, making good work, ministering grace and love, moulding culture as mouthpieces for truth and justice. And if we are being fruitful in all these ways, in these sorts of ways, then another aspect of fruitfulness will also occur. And we will have opportunities to be messengers of the gospel. Because if we are good characters, good workers, gracious ministers, raising good issues, then people will ask us questions. Why did you do that? Why did you say that? And 1 Peter 3, that first reading, encourages Christians to be ready to say, this is why. So let's have a look at 1 Peter 3. It was our first Bible reading. It's there on page 252 in the New Testament of the Church Bibles. If you brought your own Bible, then 1 Peter's amongst the non-Pauline epistles, just after James, before John, I think. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. But in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Being ready to answer, to give an account, means, well, at least two things. It means thinking in advance how you might respond, if asked, if given an opportunity. And it means resolving in advance to take opportunities if they come along. That's being ready. Actually, Peter also acknowledged that people might not just ask questions. They might be a bit more provocative, even in a harmful way. Can you see? He raises this issue in verse 13 and following. Now, who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? Now, people shouldn't mean you harm if you do good to them. And if you merely answer questions that you are asked, and, as it says in verse 16, do it with gentleness, reverence, respect, you will usually be fine. Decent people will treat us decently. But now and then, we may be abused for no good reason, other than people want to intimidate us and shut us up. But don't let people bully us. bullies are often best stood up to. Usually best stood up to. So do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated, verse 14. But in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Have your hearts right. And always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Ready with your lips as well as your heart. Now, when people ask you, it's good to mention God in our responses to questions. But it's even better to talk of Jesus, Jesus as Lord. So being ready to speak of the hope which Jesus gives us. Now, in some of our workplaces, schools, whatever, others may try to stop us speaking the message of Jesus Christ. They may do things like accuse us of proselytizing, which is a long word which people don't seem clear on the meaning of. But as long as we're not forcing or manipulating anyone into becoming a Christian, we're not proselytizing. And if we're responding to questions, then we're just being polite and human. And if we're wise, we'll make something of the opportunity which helps things forward. Now, it's not easy. We can see that from 1 Peter and the context of what he's talking about. Some might mean us harm. We might want to fear, but don't fear. Don't be intimidated. It's not easy. After all, sometimes a question might be a trick question. Jesus had many trick questions asked of him. You see quite a lot of them in Mark chapter 11 and 12. And Jesus was very good at fielding trick questions. I'm not sure I am. Often catch me unawares. Jesus was good. But if we're asked a trick question and we're thinking, oh, I think they're up to mischief or worse, then we might prefer just to pause and suggest we'd love to give an answer if the question was genuine and interested. It's not easy. Sometimes a question might be a setup. We just need to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Say we're willing to give an answer, maybe when the circumstances are more equal and the playing field more level. It's not easy, but it's important to be ready. Ready means we've thought about it in advance. Ready means we are determined to make the most of opportunities. Ready means we will not fear or be intimidated. And ready means we understand that it's usual and normal for people to treat us well if we have treated them well. They will not usually harm us if we have been eager to do good to them. So that's really the prerequisite to being ready. Do good. And what are the good things which impress people enough for them to ask questions? Well, have a look and see what Peter says in his earlier verses, verse 8 and following, 8 and 9. Finally, all of you, he writes, have unity of spirit, sympathy, love for one another. So what he's saying is, if people see the way that Christians work together well, for the good of one another and for the good of others who are needy, they will be impressed and ask questions, which we can then be ready to give an answer to. And in verse 8b, a tender heart and a humble mind. Tenderness and humility may sound soft, but they are impressive. And if we are tender and humble, that often softens the hard hearts of those who become interested and ask questions. Verse 9. Do not repay evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but on the contrary, repay with a blessing. People notice. In your position, they think, I would have retaliated. I wouldn't have let them get away with that, but you didn't. Why? Why would you repay evil with good? Doesn't make sense to a lot of people. So they want to know why. And they will be impressed and ask questions, and we can be ready to answer with an account of the hope that is within us. So good character, good work, graciousness, good issues raised, they all go alongside sharing the good news of Jesus Christ as messengers of the gospel. And if we don't speak the message of the gospel, where will people hear it? To quote Romans 10, how are they to hear without someone to proclaim? Without you to proclaim. Because people aren't getting a clear idea of Christianity anywhere else. Schools don't help much, most probably hinder. TV doesn't help much. The internet has such contradictory things which claim to help, but it's also confusing. When it comes to the truth claims of Jesus Christ and Christianity, people in our society are so confused. They think they know what it is, but they have not got a good grasp at all. So many people. So, we need to be ready. And the more distinctive Christians become in our society, the more people will notice the difference. And the more they will want to ask questions. So, we need to be ready. Johnny Appleseed lived in late 18th century, early 19th century United States, and was active mainly in Pennsylvania and Ohio. And he didn't only plant apple nurseries with seeds. He was a Christian missionary. A very active member of the Swedish New Church, who were planting lots of new churches. So as he travelled and showed his care for good fruit and a bountiful environment for people and animals and insects, he was also taking every opportunity to speak the good news of Jesus Christ. He was ready to answer. Why are you doing that, Johnny? He was ready. It's a big part of being fruitful on our front line. Really, he should have been called Johnny Gospel Seed. And you too. David Gospel Seed. Jenny, Gospel Seed. Tom, Gospel Seed. Pauline, Gospel Seed. Whatever it is, Gospel Seed. So that we might be fruitful on our front lines. Let's pray. Thank you for your word, Lord. I pray for your spirit to plant it in our hearts and minds such that we move into action in your name as your messengers of the gospel. Amen.